And they might do something crazy like elect a reality TV star president.
In McCaskill's state of Missouri, President Trump did receive 56.4% of the vote. This is USA Radio News.
It's Kohl's Super Saturday. Take an extra 15% off when you spend under $100. Or take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. Give joy with cozy sweaters, cuddle dud sheets, or a diamond ring. And get joy with Kohl's Cash. Plus, snap a free picture in-store with Santa, Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Give joy, get joy at Kohl's. Select styles, 15 and 20% offers valid December 9th through 24th with promo code SNOWMAN. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
A new survey out from the employment staffing service Monster.com came out and said that money was one of the top priorities of job seekers. Now, one of the things, though, that can hold us back from finding that new opportunity is fear, especially fear of the unknown. Well, Jen Sincero has a website, and she's an entrepreneur, and she's also a financial expert. She joined me, and one of the things we discussed was fear.
Fear is necessary if you're going to change your life. If you're not scared, you're doing something wrong, because it means you're staying in your familiarity zone. So, of course, it's scary doing something, but it's also really exciting. So what you're looking for is that, I call it like the terror excitement of changing your life. You need to be equal parts terrified and excited, and then you know you've hit the bullseye, and that's exactly what you should do.
Jen also talks about how sometimes when we want to make changes in our life, that also means breaking off relationships that might not be healthy and finding new friends.
You almost always need to change that if you're going to improve yourself. Because when you decide to change who you're being, you know, we all hang out with people who are sort of at the same level as us. So if you want to really go for it in a whole new way, you often have to seek out all new people. It doesn't mean you have to get rid of your old friends, but it does mean you need to hang out with people who are going to inspire you and support you and give you ideas and model the fact that you can do anything you want to do with your life. It is so important. We are so malleable and are so affected by the people who surround us.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin. This week, the world has been remembering George Herbert Walker Bush, the 41st President of the United States. And we're very lucky today to be talking with John Rothman. He's a radio talk show host on KGO 810 AM in San Francisco. He's been a part of that station since 1996. He's a lecturer on American politics and the presidency and the author of Icon of Evil, Hitler's Mufti and the Rise of Radical Islam, as well as Harold E. Stassen, The Life and Perennial Candidacy of the Progressive Republican. John, good to speak with you again. Thanks so much for being with us on Now It's the News.
My pleasure.
James Baker, the former Secretary of State, recently told the New York Times history is beginning to recognize that George Bush was the best one-term president in American history. How do you assess George H.W. Bush's presidency?
Actually, the first time I heard that line was from George W. Bush at his father's state funeral.
Yeah.
Look, George H.W. Bush was a man who led his party, led his country, did the very best he could, was an honorable, decent man. I have to confess, I never voted for George H.W. Bush, but I have to tell you that death brings out the best. That is to say, all you hear are the positives. Generally, in presidential polls, George H.W. Bush ranks in about the middle. Will he go up now that he's dead? You know something? Whenever you die, people only say nice things about you. There's a lot of controversy about George H.W. Bush, but there's also a lot of good things to be said. Will he rank as the best one-term president? We've had a lot of one-term presidents who did remarkably well over the years, so I would suggest that he certainly deserves consideration more for the fact of the time he served, the collapse of the Soviet Union, the tearing down of the Berlin Wall, those major events. And by the way, to his great credit, the way he handled those events will ring through history.
Well, you are, of course, a gentleman, but this is not necessarily a gentlemanly age in which we observe the passing of George H.W. Bush. Some on the left certainly have accused the media of glossing over some of the more controversial aspects of his presidency, the Willie Horton ad.
That's true. It's not just the left that does that.
Right.
There are many on the right. Remember that George H.W. Bush was challenged by Pat Buchanan.
Yes.
There was a who really waged a very strong race. I have to say, so you understand this, the wound of his death is such that everyone accentuates the positive.
Yeah.
I can enumerate for you the negatives about George H.W. Bush, and that's the reason why he does not rank higher in the rating of presidents.
And do you think that perhaps now, because we are observing his passing, because we see the funeral on television, because there is this period of mourning, that there's some holding back, and that perhaps a more sober assessment will come to us later on?
Beowulf, of course that's going to be the case. I mean, what you heard are all of the people who loved him, and that's what you should hear at a funeral. Were there difficulties in the George H.W. Bush administration? You bet. Read My Lips, No New Taxes, the selection of Dan Quayle as his running mate, the very rocky relationship that the Bush administration had with Israel, the considerable difficulty that Bush had with his own political party. It's interesting. Did you know that George H.W. Bush was once the president of Planned Parenthood in Texas?
I did not.
And then did a complete flip? And became one of the staunchest advocates for the pro-life position.
Wow.
There are inconsistencies in his career that also are real. But I'll never forget going to a funeral once where, as they walked down the stairs, somebody turned to me and said, "He was a son of a bitch, but he was our son of a bitch." and I think that... That summarizes when Jimmy Carter dies, when Gerald Ford passed away, when Ronald Reagan passed away. The criticisms diminish. One of the great problems that the legacy of George H.W. Bush will present was the Willie Horton ad, which certainly for a decent, honorable man, as George H.W. Bush certainly was, was a black mark.
Right.
And he permitted it. There are a variety of issues involved. One thing we can know, and that is that the people who knew him best loved him.
Right.
That is not true with some people who have served in the Oval Office. One other quick comment, if I may. Donald Trump attended the funeral.
Right.
I want to remind you, he did not attend. He wasn't invited to Barbara Bush's funeral.
Right.
Nor was he invited to John McCain's funeral. In fact, he was disinvited there. The simple truth is that what the death of George H.W. Bush did was to allow the country to contrast the temperament, the style,
right,
the way a president should act. One of the most remarkable things about George H.W. Bush was that he knew the name of all the White House employees. He greeted them by name. Mm-hmm. He knew their families. He felt the same way about the Secret Service. You remember one of his Secret Service agents' children had leukemia.
That's
and,
right.
And George H.W. Bush shaved his head. He was a good, honest, compassionate man. You can disagree on issues. But I think that the truth of the matter, whether you are a Trump supporter or not, is that if you were looking for the anti-Bush, that is the exact opposite of George H.W. Bush in terms of the presidency, it would be Donald Trump.
And we certainly are seeing him benefit from that comparison. I agree that he was an honorable man. He was polite, someone who worked with both sides, certainly, and somebody who was agreeable. I wonder if our standards have changed because of the current occupant of the Oval Office and whether someone who met the standards in what was, in his time, an expected way receives an additional bonus, essentially, just for not being Donald Trump.
You hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And let me say, because I know you have a broad variety of listeners, some who applaud Donald Trump, some who don't, that I was a Republican for many years. I became a Democrat some years ago over policy issues. As a former Republican, as I was president of the Teenage Republicans in San Francisco, and I was the youngest member of the Republican State Central Committee, and I worked for Richard Nixon, as you know, for many years, I consider Donald Trump to be, well, not only dysfunctional, but a disgrace. And on every level, if this were a critique of Donald Trump, whether it has to do with his honesty, his obstruction of justice, his corruption, I mean, it is so pervasive, in my judgment, that it almost we've almost decided we can't handle it all.
Yeah,
it's like a juggler, Beowulf, juggling three balls, four balls, five balls. In this case, if you interviewed me for days, I could go through the problems I have with Donald Trump, not because he's Donald Trump. Do you understand?
Yes.
But because of the way he conducts himself, his presidency, it's an absolute disgrace. Now,
yes,
having said that, and that's just John Rothman's opinion, which listeners can accept or reject, understand that the reason there is such emphasis on George H.W. Bush is because he was a good, honest, decent man whose opponents didn't like his policies but never said a negative thing about his person.
Yes.
And that's the stark contrast.
We'll be back in a moment with radio talk show host John Rothman. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin.
Budget Blinds, caring is in our DNA. It's the way we do business every day. It starts with exceptional customer service, a process that is centered around you. We listen to you, take the time to find out about your needs, then guide you through a beautiful selection of custom window coverings to find the very best options for you. Our commitment to caring continues throughout our local neighborhoods. We care for our homes and our communities. Budget Blinds supports so many different causes all across North America. We're your local neighborhood experts. We live and work right next to you, and we do it all for you. If that's the kind of personal service you've been waiting for, call and see for yourself.
855-BUDGET-BLINDS, 855-BUDGET-BLINDS, or find us online at budgetblinds.com. While you're there, find out more about the Budget Blinds commitment to giving back at #BudgetBlindsCares. Each franchise independently owned and operated. Ask for details.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then we suggest you call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 immediately. That's 1-800-658-8202. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we will give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 1-800-658-8202 now for your free author submission kit. Numerically, that's 1-800-658-8202. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 1-800-658-8202. That's 1-800-658-8202. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with a simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 for your free author submission kit.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with John Rothman. He's a radio talk show host on KGO 810 AM in San Francisco. I think it's also interesting to note some of the other reactions. You had recently in the New York Times an article by Ross Duhat about George H.W. Bush's role as a WASP. And he waxed nostalgic about the age in which presidents and senators and great men were WASPs. That interests me. And I saw a number of people online react, I think rightly, negatively to that. Perhaps the author was referring to a certain highborn style as opposed to literally being a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. But I think that there are a lot of misconceptions about what the benefits were of being ruled, so to speak, by a class of that particular sort of individual. What's your response to that take?
Well, the first thing is no president rules.
True.
Period. I think that's very important. Number two, every president is a reflection of their background. John Fitzgerald Kennedy was a Catholic, Boston bred, Harvard educated. He represented a rejection, some said, of WASP America. Quite the contrary. What America offers is the opportunity for anyone from any ethnic group to rise to the top. There is no question that George H.W. Bush, because of his father, Prescott, and because of the heritage of his family, had advantage throughout his life. It's also true that the fact that he was part of the WASP establishment, a high church Episcopalian, I don't think it really mattered. I think he was judged in his time. And remember, in 1988, Ronald Reagan, had he been able to run for a third term, would have been reelected, despite the Iran-Contra scandal, for instance. George H.W. Bush represented a continuation of the Reagan legacy, maybe even, in the view of many, a third term for Ronald Reagan. And there were a lot of reasons why he represented that kind of patrician America.
Yeah,
and there will be others who will come along. Donald Trump certainly doesn't represent patrician America.
He certainly doesn't, although literally he is a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant to the extent that you can say those things literally. But he doesn't represent the patrician establishment of the United States.
Nor does he represent if you think about it, he couldn't even recite the Apostles' Creed. he didn't know it. Now, I say that as a nice Jewish boy. I can tell you that when you look hard at Barack Obama, who was the antithesis of what George H.W. Bush represented in America, but I want to tell you the ultimate irony, and it's something nobody's really reflected on. Both George H.W. Bush, 41, and his son, George W. Bush, 43, voted for Hillary Clinton for president.
Yeah.
And that tells you a lot about the fact that the establishment didn't embrace Donald Trump.
Yes.
Because of what Donald Trump represents.
Yeah.
And it's the antithesis of civility, of honesty, of integrity.
Yeah.
Which was the symbol. And there's another point to be made, I think, and that is about the Republican Party itself. Donald Trump has done tremendous damage to the Republican Party.
Yes.
We saw it in the congressional campaign just completed, where almost 10 million more Americans voted for the Democrats than for the Republicans. There is, I think, a concern within the Republican Party that the leadership of the party, and I want to remind you that bitter political rivals, Bob Dole and George H.W. Bush, were both chairs of the Republican Party.
Right.
That the Republican Party of the era of Dole and Bush is gone.
Yeah.
And one of the things that will happen, the Republican Party will have to redefine itself, not in the shadow of an incumbent president. By the way, very similar to what the Republican Party had to do when Richard Nixon left the presidency.
Right.
Nixon was the quintessential Republican. I would remind you, when they speak about the Republicans gaining 40 seats in the, the Democrats rather gaining 40 seats in the congressional race that just completed, that when Richard Nixon in 1966 campaigned around the country, the Republican Party gained 47 seats and put Nixon on the path to the nomination in 1968.
All right.
Hey, look, there are many historical connections to be drawn, but the bottom line is that George H.W. Bush will be remembered as a good, honorable, decent man with whom you could disagree on certain issues, who had within his own administration certain scandals. Let me remind you, we're coming up on Christmas Eve in a few weeks, that it was on Christmas Eve of 1992, rather 1992, as George H.W. Bush was leaving office, that he pardoned Caspar Weinberger.
That's right.
I mean, there are many, many things that one can discuss legitimately, and those critiques of the late former president will no doubt emerge in the days ahead.
And I would just note before we move on that certainly having mentioned your roots in the Republican Party, that there are certainly many folks that I work with directly, including former RNC Chairman Michael Steele, who are, to say the least, ambivalent about the direction that the current Republican Party under the leadership of Donald Trump is taking. There are many. It is certainly a divided party, and there are many real conservatives who have qualms about where he is taking this party and have expressed so publicly and with volume.
Let me just tell you, Donald Trump is not a conservative.
Indeed.
He is not really a Republican. He has flirted with, as you know, the Democrats and the Reform Party and running as an independent. This is a man whose personal ego and ambition have overshadowed everything. And the reflection that we now see in his presidency, even as I'm being interviewed by you, the breaking news, which is monumental in terms of implications for Donald Trump and the future of his presidency.
Yes.
This is, I was saying to somebody yesterday, you remember the words that were written by Bob Hartman, who was a speechwriter for Gerald Ford?
Mm-hmm.
The words that he uttered as he took the oath of office on August 9th, 1974. Ford said, "Our national nightmare is over." And when President Trump leaves the White House, that will be the overwhelming consensus, I believe, of Americans who understand the abuses that this president has heaped on the Constitution and the political process.
Indeed, that will be a truly bipartisan moment. We'll be back in a minute with John Rothman of KGO, 810 AM in San Francisco. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. As an added bonus, our retirement income kit, full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
USA Radio News.
President Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, is breaking his silence after being sentenced to 3 years in federal prison. Cohen tells ABC's Good Morning America that President Trump knew exactly what was going on regarding payments that were made to two women.
He's saying very clearly that he never directed you to do anything wrong. Is that true?
I don't think there's anybody that believes that. First of all, nothing at the Trump Organization was ever done unless it was run through Mr. Trump.
With a possible partial government shutdown looming next Friday, both Republicans and Democrats are digging their heels in regarding border funding and how much money, if any, should be allocated toward border security. Governor-elect Ron DeSantis was at the White House yesterday. He shares some advice he gave President Trump.
I encouraged him to take a stand on that. I think he's right on the policy.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
It's Kohl's Super Saturday. Take an extra 15% off when you spend under $100. Or take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. Give joy with cozy sweaters, cuddle bed sheets, or a diamond ring. And get joy with Kohl's Cash. Plus, snap a free picture in-store with Santa, Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Give joy, get joy at Kohl's. Select styles, 15 and 20% offers valid December 9th through 24th with promo code SNOWMAN. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with John Rothman. He is a radio talk show host on KGO 810 AM in San Francisco. He's a lecturer on American politics and the presidency, co-author of Icon of Evil and Harold E. Strassen, A Life and Perennial Candidacy of the Progressive Republican. We also learned this week of the passing of Ray Taliaferro, one of your colleagues, John, a longtime KGO talk show host who was heard throughout the San Francisco Bay Area. He was overnight, so much of the West Coast. He was the first black talk show host in a major radio market. He was the head of the local chapter of the NAACP and was the first black member of the San Francisco Arts Commission. He had been missing for a while, and I know that you've spoken about this along with your colleague Pat Thurston on KGO. He had been missing in Illinois and Kentucky before he was discovered dead. Tell us what you know about what happened.
We know that Ray was in Paducah, Kentucky. He went with his wife of 6 months. She inherited some property. They drove out to the property to take a look at it. He drove off in the car while she, I guess, was surveying the property, or was in the back of the house, depending upon which story you read. He went missing, and his body was discovered. There, according to the sheriff, there is no foul play suggested. He did have dementia. I can tell you that those of us who were his friends, he stopped returning my calls, I would say, about 2 or 3 years ago. He did not return the calls of his children. He did not respond to old friends. Clearly, there was a problem. His tragic end, I can only tell you, is heartbreaking. You pointed out, Ray and I were colleagues on KGO, but I want to just comment on his community involvement.
Yeah.
This is a man who for 35 years was on KGO, had record-breaking numbers in terms of listeners in the middle of the night, all up and down the West Coast and beyond. He was the president of the NAACP here in San Francisco. He was the president of the San Francisco Arts Commission. He served on the board of the War Memorial Opera House. He was the president of the Leukemia Society, and when we did the leukemia curathons on KGO under his leadership and the leadership of our president, Mickey Luckoff, $18 million was raised to cure leukemia over the years.
I certainly have a visceral memory of the energy with which he imbued those pitches to listeners to give.
It's not enough, he would say. He was a showman,
yeah.
A very private man, but a man whose public persona was such that he was a legend here in the city. One thing I will tell you is he was a brilliant musician.
Yes.
He and I had a little routine we worked out. I would call on him to play the piano for the curathon, and when he played the piano, the money poured in because he was a brilliant pianist. And so it is a real tragedy. There will be a memorial service held here in San Francisco. under the auspices of the Commonwealth Club. I should point out that he was an active member of the board of the Commonwealth Club, and until his death was on the advisory committee at the Commonwealth Club. He was a man of so many dimensions and so many fine attributes, and we will miss him, and his listeners miss him. The outpouring of people, but you realize, because you've been in radio for a long time, and I laughingly call myself Ray Taliaferro on the weekends, because I did 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Saturday, 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. Sunday. Ray did the other five nights from 1 to 5. You develop an intimacy on the radio.
Yes.
That is very different than television. On the radio, you're with a person in their bedroom, in their bathroom, in their kitchen, in their most intimate moments. They go to sleep with you. They wake up with you. They are startled by some of the things you say, and they respond by picking up the phone and calling. There is no medium like radio. And so Ray was a part of the lives of millions and millions of people. They didn't necessarily listen all night. They did what everybody does on the radio. They tuned in, they tuned out. But if I told you the number of people who said, I went to bed listening to Ray, and when I woke up in the morning, I was still listening to him. And that's a marvelous sense. May I also point out, he's, I think, the only radio personality in the country who did a poetry night where anybody could call in and read their poetry. He had a chapel night where you could praise God or denounce God, as was your preference. He had a jazz night where he, with a remarkable collection, would entertain people remarkably. And I will tell you, even people who liked to go to bed early stayed awake for some of those evenings with Ray Taliaferro. And I'll never forget, because it's an interesting irony, it was 7 years ago, December 1st, when KGO changed its format and we were all let go, although I'm back and they're now back to talk. We were all the so-called legends were let go. And I'll never forget, in the meeting, after the announcement was made very tersely, Ray raised his hand and said, "Does that mean I shouldn't come in tonight?" Because for Ray, it was like breathing.
Yeah.
And it was...
And it's not exactly an easy schedule to do every day from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. in the morning. That's something. That's an accomplishment.
It is. And Ray slept very short amounts of time. He used to tell me he slept 4 hours a night. And yet he still had that indomitable energy about him. He was a busy man, doing the things he wanted to do. He kept his private life very, very separate. I had never met or talked to his children until this incident. I haven't met them face-to-face, but I've had the opportunity to talk with his two sons. And he kept his private life private. What is his legacy? Well, anytime you see somebody who has had leukemia and who has recovered, you can credit, in part, Ray Taliaferro. Anytime you hear about a battle for human rights, you can, again, in part, credit Ray Taliaferro. Anytime you hear of someone championing the arts, you will think, I hope, of Ray Taliaferro. Anytime you hear of a brilliant piece of music, you'll think of Ray. All of these attributes, all of these moments in his life contributed to making our lives so much better.
I couldn't have put it better. I know that my father used to go to sleep with radio on with the host before Ray, used to wake up with his voice, you know, in his ear. And my daughter is in college now, but when she was a baby and would get up in the middle of the night and I would warm bottles of milk up for her, I would listen to Ray myself. And
you know, I want to just add one thing. I know we've got to close, but I want to say this. December 1st, 7 years ago, we were all let go. I mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
And Ray Taliaferro's mic went silent. The tragedy is that his death was reported 7 years and one day after that period of time. And now we know that his mic will be silent for eternity.
Indeed. We've been speaking with John Rothman. He's a radio talk show host on KGO, 810 AM in San Francisco. Again, the author of Icon of Evil and Harold A. Stassen, the life and perennial candidacy of the Progressive Republican. John, it's a pleasure talking with you, and I look forward to hearing you more on KGO. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, and a very happy holiday season to one and all.
To you as well. Thanks so much, John. All the best to you.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Mike Hewitt here. From perseverance, rugged individualism, and self-reliance, to the state of being coddled, offended at the drop of a hat, and reliant, all in the historical measure of the blink of an eye. But how they do that so quickly and why? And what's more important, can it be undone? What's waiting at the end of the tracks? Is there something better for a cultured, gender-neutral society? An economic system driven by entitlement rather than how much was earned? Think about it. In 2018, a song from 1944, Baby It's Cold Outside, caused a public stir, while many rise to angrily defend a girl who thinks she's a boy with seemingly greater rights than a coach and the entire sports team. Where does it stop? Can it be stopped? Folks, should it be stopped? Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
Hey,
listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin. I am always curious when I walk down the aisles of my grocery store and I look at the various foods available. I look at the ingredient lists and I'm always wondering, well, what is that? What's that strange spelled ingredient? What are those things? And how healthy is the food that I'm eating? Well, relatively speaking, we're doing okay today. Most of the stuff that you find is not going to kill you or seriously injure you. But that was not always the case in the United States. There was a period where health food safety standards were essentially non-existent, and we went through a process, a very fascinating one, to get food safety standards in place. And Deborah Blum, who is with us today, has written a book about that. It's called The Poison Squad. Deborah Blum, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. So, like, leading up to the turn of the 20th century, leading up to 1900, what were we looking at? What protections, if any, were there for the safety of our food? And what did we depend upon, aside, if anything, from mere chance in terms of getting food that was safe to eat?
Well, there were a few states that had put in food safety regulations. I mean, it's kind of interesting. Some of them, like Massachusetts in the 1880s, states that you might not expect to be super proactive in regulation, like the Dakotas, were very progressive at the time and had put in some, but there were no consumer protective laws at a national scale by the federal government, which led to, in the 19th century, this kind of carnival or wild west of food production in which manufacturers could, in fact, put anything they wanted to into food or fake it in any way that they found profitable. And there were no laws that were broken or no pushback from the federal government to say, for instance, no, you really shouldn't be putting formaldehyde in milk or brick dust in cinnamon. It seemed so odd at the time, but it was accepted at a federal level.
Now, remind us, if you could, some of the practices. You just mentioned putting brick dust in cinnamon, and I know some of these are very graphically detailed in Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, which talked about some of them. But remind us, like, the sorts of crazy things that were going on with regard to how our food was adulterated back then.
Yes, this was a big surprise for me because I think I had bought into what seems to be the myth of happy pink cheek farm fresh food and its eaters in the 19th century.
Yeah.
So because it's so permissible to do this, as I said, in spices like cinnamon, you see brick dust or charred crumbled rope in pepper or ground gypsum, which we use in wallboard, was used to extend flour in coffee, was insanely faked so that ground coffee might just be dyed sawdust as part of the mix, and they use lead dyes to dye it lead black, and then they fake coffee beans too, and so there was quite the little cottage industry in making coffee bean molds that would be filled with wax and dirt.
they actually went through the process of like faking coffee beans with coffee bean molds because that was less expensive than obtaining actual coffee beans at that time.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
I mean, coffee, if you think about it, it's grown in these exotic locations. It's expensive to get here, but right in your backyard, you can just make some clay coffee beans and mix them in and then sell it as if it was pure.
Wow.
And people did. I actually read one comment from a doctor who said he suspected the origin of that phrase, a muddy cup of coffee, was because 19th century Americans drink so much dirt every morning. I literally have wondered what coffee tasted like in the 19th century. But, you know, so you had a lot of those kinds of fakes. Some of the tests actually found that spices were 100% adulterated. The McCormick Company, which is still around today, used to import tons of coconut shells and grind them up and mix them into mustard. It would look like the little brown seeds in mustard.
Oh, wow.
And one of my other favorites, strawberry jam, would be corn syrup, mixed with gelatin, colored with dye, and then they would mix grass seed into it to simulate the strawberry seeds.
Oh, wow.
And so you were never anything close to strawberry jam in that case. And so food was very untrustworthy, but also because now it's the late 19th and we have the rise of industrial chemistry, you see the sudden use of industrial compounds, the embalming fluid formaldehyde, the cleaning product borax, salicylic acid, which we know is a fever reducer, going into all kinds of food products as preservatives, again, without being tested or labeled or checked in any way.
That's just incredible. We're speaking with Deborah.
It was crazy.
And maybe because of the few things they were drinking in their coffee, possibly that didn't help. We're speaking with Deborah Blum. She is the author of The Poison Squad. How did this begin to change? And who is Dr. Harvey Washington Wiley?
So Wiley in 1883 is an Indiana chemist who becomes the chief chemist for the federal government's Bureau of Chemistry in the USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which at that point, because we have no FDA or Consumer Protection agencies, is the only agency in the country that's looking at food safety. And what makes him so interesting is that he comes in 1883, he's got this tiny lab, it's what he called an ill-ventilated basement lab with six chemists, and he takes on food safety as his number one cause. And so starting then, he launches his chemists into investigations of the food supply, and a lot of the information we've been talking about now comes out of this series of investigation in which he looks at everything from lead toxicity in canned vegetables to fraud in butter. For years. And he, as he does this, he begins building a case and starts advocating for, you know, some kind of minimal standards for these food products.
Right.
But also he just wants them labeled. They're not labeled. He keeps saying, let's at least tell people what's in here. And that's something that business of the time, at least, really does not want. They do not want labels. They do not want standards.
Right. Well, brick dust.
And they don't happen. And they actually don't happen.
Wow. Yes. Okay.
Well, I don't want to give up my brick dust cinnamon, right? It's too profitable.
That's right. It's a protected family recipe involving brick dust that copyright allows us not to give up our
there you
our,
go,
our special
right?
recipe.
It's in a proud American tradition of putting brick dust
it
in
is.
Your cinnamon, and we're not giving it up.
And it may not, it may not be brick dust in this day and age, but certainly the same habits continue to this day. It really is a fascinating story, and you talk about Upton Sinclair's The Jungle and how that changed popular opinion. It's a really amazing book, and for anyone who eats, you really should read The Poison Squad, because this was a problem, then a huge problem. Not as bad, but, you know, it hasn't gone away completely, and you should be aware of the history of how and what goes into our food. Deborah Blum, The Poison Squad, thank you so much for writing this. Thank you so much for being with us today on Now It's the News.
Thank you.
Happy trail. Happy trail.
That's all the time we have today on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by yours truly, Beowulf Rocklin. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com.
follow us on Twitter at Now It's the News. And until next week, keep smiling through, just like you always do.
Happy trails.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-319-2629. That's 800-319-2629. 800-319-2629.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Investigations are ongoing after dozens of bomb threats targeted news outlets, government buildings, banks, libraries, and schools across the nation. The FBI believe the threats stem from a mass email where an unknown writer demands Bitcoin in exchange for safety. President Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, is speaking out after being sentenced this week to 3 years in jail. With more, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
I gave loyalty to someone who truthfully does not deserve loyalty.
He was trying to hide what you were doing, correct?
Correct.
And he knew it was wrong?
Of course.
Cohen speaking on Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos about his being sentenced to 3 years in prison this week for committing campaign finance crimes when he paid two women what's been called hush money in the lead up to the 2016 presidential election.
And Facebook is considering offering pay TV services on their platform. This is USA Radio News.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
It's Kohl's Super Saturday. Take an extra 15% off when you spend under $100. Or take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. Give joy with cozy sweaters, cuddled-in sheets, or a diamond ring. And get joy with Kohl's Cash. Plus, snap a free picture in-store with Santa, Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Give joy, get joy at Kohl's. Select styles, 15 and 20% offers valid December 9th through 24th with promo code SNOWMAN. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
A new report finds young adults are consuming less media than their parents. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
The stereotype of young people being forever tethered to their smartphones is apparently wrong, whereas the stereotype where the young people are watching a lot less TV than older age groups seems to be accurate. Based on this Nielsen survey, the average U.S. adult is now connected to media for 10 hours, 24 minutes a day, with 50 to 64-year-olds the most plugged-in age group. The percentage of households with traditional cable access fell during that time frame from 81.3% in 2017 to 77.4% this year.
A new study finds that Christmas is the most likely time of year for a heart attack. The study, published this week in the British Medical Journal, says a person's risk for a heart attack spiked during the holidays and peaks around 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve. This is USA Radio News.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Apple is expanding in Austin, Texas. The company announced a $1 billion investment to build a new campus. Texas Governor Republican Greg Abbott says this is a great deal for the city.
This truly elevates Austin as one of the premier technology hubs in the entire world.